buy you some popcorn, Pete.
Do you got the popcorn ready right now?
Popcorn pop was a bad too.
I just still sit here and am absolutely stunned by what happened on Tuesday night this week in Kansas, notably with the value of them both amendment. I, you know, just for fun, before we got on the air this morning, I was looking up some of the counties in Kansas and how they voted on Tuesday night on the value of them both amendment, which would have taken the issue of abortion and handed it back to the state legislature had the yes vote passed. Instead, the yes vote, of course, if you are not paying attention yesterday, the yes vote lost by 18 points. Wasn't close. So I just went down to Crawford County. Crawford County is where Pittsburgh is in Kansas. And I looked at the 2020 election results. All right. I mean, Trump steamrolled Joe Biden down in Crawford County. Steamrolled him. 9,600 votes to 5,800 votes. That's a roll. One Crawford County, Kansas, 63% of the vote did Donald Trump. Well, the other night, Crawford County voted no, 55 to 45. Not all that close. In Crawford County down in Pittsburgh, where you look at the results from 2020 and Trump steamrolled Biden and Roger Marshall rolled Barbara Bollier in the U.S. Senate race. I'm just like Jake LaTourneur took care of business in the second district very comfortably with also 60+% of the vote. It's unbelievable. And I don't know if that's, a large group of young people down in Pittsburgh that just turned out to vote or if that's people confused. I still don't know. There's still a lot to learn based on what came out of Tuesday night. But one thing that continues to get talked about locally and nationally is what this means and what the Kansas vote on abortion from Tuesday night means for the midterms. CNN is very excited. Kansas City Star here in town is very excited. Here's what CNN wrote yesterday afternoon. Abortion rights victory gives Democrats new hope for the midterm elections. They are hoping upon all hope that you will say, gosh, this inflation thing, don't worry about it. This $4 a gallon gas, it stinks, but I'm not too worried about it. You know what I'm worried about? You know what I think about all the time? Abortion. That's what comes to my mind every single time I wake up. When I'm getting out of bed, I'm in the shower, getting changed, I'm not thinking about putting food on the kitchen table. That's not what I'm thinking about. I'm not thinking about why the grocery bill keeps going up, 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 up. I'm thinking about the issue of abortion. That's what they're going to hang their hat on. And I believe it's going to fail miserably. Now, the margins may be closer. There's no doubt about that. Races may be tighter. I can totally concede that point. But here's what I do know. I do know, because it's factually proven, that Americans from California to Missouri, from Kansas to New York, and everywhere in between are feeling the pinch on inflation, are sitting there right now, getting up, getting ready to go to work, and thinking about the cost of goods, thinking about the cost of gasoline, groceries, buying a home, realizing interest rates are going up. You know, we had a house in our neighborhood that's on the market, been on the market now for a few days. I can't tell you the last time I saw a house in our neighborhood that stayed on the market for a few days. And that's not bragging about the neighborhood. That's just pointing out how red hot the home market has been. Where when homes were going on the market 7-8 months ago, they were gone. If they lasted 2 days, it was like, what happened? Now they sit there. And they sit there and they sit there. Interest rates have gone up. They've added hundreds of dollars to people's mortgage payments every month. And things are slowing down on that front. So this economy is still going to be issue number 1, 2, and 3 for people going into the midterms. And we're not going to find ourselves in a situation where people are racing to the polls in federal elections over the issue of abortion, despite what happened here in Kansas on Tuesday night. But the national media folks, they've been looking for this lifeline. You know, they've been looking for something to give hope to the idea that the party that they support at places like CNN is not about to get its clock cleaned in November. Now, the Republicans, don't discount the Republicans' ability to screw something up. They are more than capable of doing it. And some of the U.S. Senate candidates that they have certainly look like that can be very possible. They can screw up some of these races. There's no question about it. But when it comes to the House of Representatives, which the Republicans only have to flip a handful of seats to get back into the majority, they should feel very good about this. And if the Democrats believe that they are going to be able to save themselves by looking to the blueprint in Kansas and running on abortion, they're not understanding the nuanced situation that we had here on Tuesday night and what led up to the big no victory on Tuesday night. All right? I mean, there's a lot of Monday morning quarterbacking to go on here. And I understand that. That's a lot of what we do, a lot of what will be done. But I mentioned, and I said it for the last 2 weeks, that I thought the no vote was in a very good place. Did I believe there was going to be a 17-point rout? No, not at all. I never saw that coming. Did I feel like the no vote was in a very good place when the polls closed at 7 o'clock on Tuesday night? I did. But if you look at this and you're saying to yourself, all right, here we go. Look, I mean, red Kansas, 17 points on the issue of abortion on the ballot. Look what they did. Why can't we apply that to a congressional race in Michigan? Why can't we take this and apply it to a congressional race in Arizona? Well, because first off, we had $12 million dumped in from the coasts on the vote no side, specifically to Kansas. It was a unique situation with a ballot issue. It was wildly confusing to a lot of people as well. I'm not making an excuse. I mean, it was written by pro-life legislatures or legislators who wrote the bill, wrote the language. So there's a lot of self-reflecting that should be going on here. But this does not mean that they're stemming the tide on a red wave come November in federal races where abortion is not going to be the issue that they want it to be. Because in many ways, what the overturning of Roe did and what it did was send that issue of abortion back to the states. So you could still very much find yourself in a situation where, yes, Kansans vote overwhelmingly no on the abortion ballot amendment on Tuesday night, but still could send Amanda Atkins to Congress. She beats Sherese Davids, and Kansas has 4 Republican Congress members and 0 Democrats. There is a world that exists. And it's not that crazy of a world to figure out and to find out. So if they think this is their blueprint, if they are looking to Kansas on Tuesday night and saying, wow, boy, we've got our issue for the midterms. I mean, it's all they've got. It's the only thing they can really latch on to. There's nothing else for them to really tie themselves to. There's no successes to point to. We know all that. But, man, you're grasping at straws. You are grasping at straws if you're sitting there this morning, if you're a Democratic strategist and looking to apply the Kansas abortion amendment to now everything you do coast to coast to try to save yourself in the midterms. That is a long shot, a major long shot. But you know what? It might be all you got. So give it a shot and let the chips fall where they may come November. 5767710. 6:14 as we're off and running on a busy Thursday morning. Quentin Lucas will join us at 7:30 in his usual spot on Thursday mornings. Amanda Atkins, now that she is out of what was not much of a primary, but officially out of the primary, she gets set for Sherese Davids, and she will be here at 8:30 this morning, all part of a busy morning on KCMO. So some of the things that got overlooked in the wake of Tuesday night. Fascinating, fascinating things to watch in Johnson County, Kansas, and Jackson County, Missouri. We will get to both of those and tell you what they are coming up on KCMO Talk Radio. I am very sympathetic to the frustration that I am seeing on the text line two mornings after Value Them Both gets absolutely smoked at the polls. This on the text line: Pete, I never understood why they put this abortion vote on a primary election ballot instead of waiting until the midterm election in November. Well, classic example. I'm not saying you're doing this, but there is some Monday morning quarterbacking going on in terms of why it was on the ballot in August. Here's why it was on the ballot in August. Republicans believed that they would be far more likely to turn out their voter in August. Why? Because traditionally, in Kansas politics, the primaries are far more interesting on the Republican side. As a red state, not always, I understand, but as a traditionally more Republican state, the primaries are far more fascinating and have far more juice to them on the Republican side of the aisle. And the belief was that with 2022, there would be a Kansas gubernatorial primary to take on Laura Kelly. It would get a lot of attention, and a lot of Republicans would show up to vote. And then those Republicans would be voting yes on the ballot issue regarding abortion, and yes would pass. Their fear was that if they put it on the November ballot, it would help Laura Kelly in a big way. People are inspired, getting to the polls on abortion. Oh, and by the way, vote for Governor Kelly. And the Republican legislature decided we're better off putting this thing on the ballot in August, because their voters are more likely to vote in August. They're more used to voting in August. It's a primary. It won't impact us in a general. And that was the right conclusion to come to, I will add. That was the right conclusion to come to at that time. But then Roe v. Wade happened. And then millions of dollars got poured in from the coasts on Vote No. And a lot of people who I believe probably meant to vote yes or wanted to vote yes were confused. The Vote No campaign did a good job tricking maybe pro-life conservatives. I'm not blaming them. They did their job to get their no vote and to win. But the Value Them Both side maybe left something on the table as well in terms of how they handled this. But that's why it wasn't on the ballot in November. That's why they put this thing in August, and then things completely turned on them when Roe got overturned. Right? That's basically what happened here. The time to get this on the ballot would have been last year. The legislature kind of dragged its feet on this whole thing. And if you want to blame 2020, COVID year, I mean, you can look into all that. But if this was on the ballot last year, it's probably a completely different story. So let's go to what's happening in Jackson County and Johnson County. We now have two really interesting races to watch in, let's start in Johnson County, where you've got the race to be the next chair of the Johnson County Commission. Now, 2 years ago, well, 3 years ago, definitely wouldn't have cared a whole lot about this, because people would have been like, county commission, chair of the county commission, what's the big deal? Yes, they impact, you know, and they can impact things like tax rates and things like that. But in a post-COVID world, in a COVID environment, this stuff matters suddenly. And you have Mike Kelly going up against Charlotte O'Hara. Charlotte O'Hara, of course, you heard a lot from on this radio station. She is a current county commissioner, and Mike Kelly is the Roland Park mayor. Mike Kelly, and they beat out Ken Selzer and Shirley Allenbrand. Mike Kelly is the Quentin Lucas of Johnson County, is basically what he is. He is somebody who was, actually, I think he's, in terms of, you know, masking and things like that, Quentin Lucas is actually way better than Mike Kelly. Mike Kelly, Roland Park, they had a mask mandate till like the middle of last year. It was crazy how long Roland Park was masking people. Roland Park ended its mask mandate November of 2021. Think about that. Roland Park, Kansas, was masking people like 8 months ago. And Mike Kelly was the driver of that, the Roland Park mayor. I mean, this guy is kind of in that northeast Johnson County, wannabe Kansas City lefty click. That's who he is. Charlotte O'Hara is the opposite of that. She ran as a conservative in what is supposed to be a nonpartisan race, but of course nothing is nonpartisan anymore. And Charlotte O'Hara, to her credit, has said that many times. Like, I don't want to hear from Mike Kelly on the campaign trail, this is a nonpartisan race. Okay, Mike, we all know you're a liberal Democrat. That's fine. That's fine. Let's just kind of have it out there in the open instead of doing this whole guise of nonpartisanship. And then on the Jackson County side of the state line, you've got Teresa Galvin trying to upend Frank White. And Frank White had himself a tough primary against a lady named Stacy Lake, who had obviously not nearly the name ID or the money or the connections of Frank White. Frank White wins his primary, current Jackson County executive, and he will go against current county legislator Teresa Galvin. She is a Republican, but she will have to win over moderate Democrats in Jackson County. If there's a year to do it, this is the year for Teresa Galvin. But she will have to run a perfect race. She will have to have money to spend on advertising. Like, she's going to have to do it. She's going to have to turn out people that want to be involved in a red wave in Jackson County, but she's got to win over independents and moderate Dems. That's just what has to happen in Jackson County for her to have a legitimate shot at this race and to possibly win this thing. So those of you that I know that there was a primary as well. She beat out Preston Smith, and you can argue conservative credentials all you want in a primary. But if you want to be the next Jackson County executive and you want to beat out Frank White, who should be very beatable. All right. I mean, you know, Frank can only pull the Royals thing for so long. He stinks as a county executive. At some point, that's got to matter more, I would hope, to the voters. He's beatable. He's absolutely beatable, even though the powers that be, the media, are going to be on Frank White's side. But Teresa is smart enough to run a perfect campaign. And if she does it, Jackson County can flip. That would be great for taxpayers. Even putting all the cultural mask stuff aside, it would be really good for taxpayers. Really good. 5767710 News in 2 minutes. We're back with you on Possible Regrets in Kansas on KCMO. So, Jack Stack. You see this story about Jack Stack? Jack Stack, and other media are starting to pick it up this morning. We had this yesterday after Jack Stack had to put out a letter. Why? Because Jack Stack had the audacity. The audacity.
How dare you?
To host the Value Them Both Coalition watch party on Tuesday night at Fiorella's Event Center down in Overland Park. And I stopped by after hopping on KCTV 5 on the 6 o'clock news. So I did the 6. I had to do the 10. I said, I got 3 hours to kill. I don't want to sit around the newsroom in KCTV 5. I'm just kidding. I love the folks at KCTV 5, but that's a long time to sit around anywhere. So I said, I'll stop by a couple of events happening on Tuesday night. And I stopped by the Value Them Both Coalition event at Fiorella's event venue. And, you know, it was great, very pleasant. Had some food, had some drinks. I didn't partake in either, just in case you're wondering. All right. And then it went about my night. There was no trouble. There were no protesters. Everyone was having a fine time, very pleasant until the results started coming in. But either way, it was just a group of people renting out an event space, like what happens all over Johnson County, Jackson County, all parts of the metro, right? Well, I guess Jack Stack started catching heat for this. Now, my guess is the heat came from social media trolls. But for some people who think that social media is real life, you have to end up responding to this. And here's where this came from, all right? 810 sports radio personality Darren Smith. Darren Smith took to Facebook to rip Jack Stack in a post that was widely shared across the metro. The post on his Facebook page, on Darren Smith's Facebook page, 810 sports radio guy, I can't say I know him, but he sounds like a total loser. Darren Smith went on his social media page and alerted his audience to the fact that Jack Stack was hosting the Yes Party at Fiorella's. His post read in part, so a certain barbecue restaurant, Jack Stacks, was hosting a Yes Party tonight in hopes that it would pass over in Kansas. Many folks on social media are saying they won't spend any more of their money there. And what he means by that is him. They always spin this garbage. They always spin it. Like, I feel this way. And then they say, many folks on social media are saying, not that I have a dog in this fight, but if you know, you know. Okay. So how? What else do you want to lie about? You sports radio loser. With 5 locations in the metro area, you know what it do. Can you speak English, please? Like, you're not making any sense. Would it kill you to write in English? He says, referring to Jack Stack, with 5 locations in the metro area, you know what it do. Gates Barbecue, serving Kansas City for over 75 years. The post garnered 438 shares, 267 comments, many of which included users saying they would no longer frequent the popular barbecue joint. So because of this sports radio loser, Darren Smith at 810, but where's 810 in all this? How about you tell your guys to stick to sports? There's a novel concept.
Oh, no. Not over there.
Because I know that most of the hosts over at 810, I think they're still hiding in their basements from COVID, even though they probably have had like 7 boosters by now. Can anyone confirm or deny that? Can one of our listeners call up 810 and just ask on the request line, hey, you guys still hiding in your basement from COVID and wearing 7 masks? Is that still happening over at 810 Sports Radio? You guys okay over there? Are you still like, you know, I can't go to Arrowhead. There's 80,000 anti-mask racists there. Oh, but let me talk about Patrick Mahomes or something. I mean, what a bunch of tools. My goodness. So Jack Stack felt the need to respond to this. All right. And here's what Jack Stack put on social media. Dear Kansas City, many have heard that the Value Them Both Coalition rented space at Fiorella's event venue to hold its election night watch party yesterday evening. Without question, the emotions this event has spurred across Kansas City are seen as both real and valid by our team. And we respect the gamut of opinions that have been shared in response. To those who have reached out, we see you, we hear you, and we're thankful for the opportunity to address this news. In addressing last night's event at Fiorella's event venue, we want to be clear. The Value Them Both Coalition chose to rent our event space in the same way that any other person or group would do when selecting an event venue. Our decision to provide that space should not be taken as an endorsement or denouncement in any direction. We are hopeful that all of Kansas City will continue to feel welcome whenever they find themselves at Jack Stack Barbecue or at Fiorella's event venue in the future. Thank you, the Jack Stack family. That's Jack Stack basically giving the double middle finger to all these clowns and saying, hey, guess what? We run a business. You want to rent out our event space? As long as you're not breaking the law, come on in, pay the bill. You want to come eat our burnt ends? Don't care what your political affiliation is. Don't care how you voted on Value Them Both. Come on in, eat, pay the bill. Because that's their business. I know in Woke America 2022, this is a novel concept to people that they should just try to sell as much product as is possible. But that's what Jack Stack's in the business of. That's what anybody that sells food or sells a product should be in the business of. Getting as many people as you possibly can to consume that product. That's it. That's the business. So good for Jack Stack. They didn't apologize. They didn't say this was an error in judgment. They didn't say this was done without our knowledge, you know, blame some mid-manager or something like that. If we knew, we wouldn't have allowed this. No, they basically told them in a nice way to shove it. They said, we're not a political operation. If the Vote No crew wanted to pay for the event space, they could have paid for the event space too. If they want to hold a Vote No celebration Saturday night, all right, some demonic Vote No celebration on Saturday night, you know what? if the venue's available, I bet you Fiorello's will say, yeah, all right, come on in. Because they realize how and where their bread is buttered. But 810 Sports apparently doesn't. 810 Sports apparently is just perfectly fine with their guys saying whatever they want, trying to take down. Here's the thing. You know, if you're Jack Stack, you do any advertising over there at 810, you're fools. You're absolute fool. Why would you do that? One of their guys literally just tried to take you down and lose you business. And, you know, a good note for any other business, by the way. Just you know, while we're at it, good note for any other business. That 810 has its guys so far out of what they're supposed to be doing that they're out there pushing, you know, political opinions, trying to take down good, solid local businesses in Kansas City because they disagree with the fact that they rented out their space to somebody. That's the tolerant left, though, John.
Not very good at math either.
Yeah.
Bryant's opened in 1908, so over 100 years. Yeah. Right? Or was he saying Jack Stack was the 75-year?
Oh, Gates.
Yeah, Gates opened in 1908.
Oh, really?
So, over 100 years ago.
You're going back to the, I see what you did there.
Yeah.
The original Darren Smith 810 post. Yeah, so not much of a mathematician either. Not helping his cause. Thank you for that there, John. Good note. 5767710. Our text line is 816-576-7710. You know, this to me is not about Jack Stack being pro-life. I have no idea if the people that run that business are pro-life. I don't care if they're pro-life. I care whether or not they have good food and good service. That's all I care about. But it's rare in 2022 to have a business stand up and say, we're not taking a stance. You're not going to get us to take a stance because we run a business, John. And that's all they're in the business of doing.
So I took a stance and I need to untake a stance here.
Yeah, okay.
Wrong manufacturer. It was Bryant's 1908, Gates 1946.
Okay. So, all right. Yeah, never mind.
Just so I correct myself.
Okay.
The text line goes
correct. You are corrected. You stand corrected. You corrected yourself. All right. There you go. 5767710. 5767710 on this Gates story. And, you know, when you think about this, and you think about the angle that Gates took, that now I'm thinking about Gates, that Jack Stack took.
My bad.
Thank you. When you think about the angle that Jack Stack took here, wouldn't it be refreshing if more businesses took this route, went down this road, and just stood up? Not standing up for causes or beliefs that you and I have. I don't want them to. I don't care if they do. But just saying, we're not getting involved. We're not. And Jack Stack did it perfectly. They got the blueprint, and I hope other local businesses take this approach as well. So this is an interesting fallout that potentially could hurt Republican candidates come November in Kansas in the wake of Value Them Both getting blown out on Tuesday night. And I hadn't thought of this, and this is one of those things that, you know, they may regret, but you regret it after knowing how the election played out. So once again, you're sitting here and you're looking back on something that you did not know was going to play out the way it played out. And now you're like, maybe that wasn't such a good idea. But here's what I heard a lot of yesterday from Republicans in and around Kansas. And it was the idea that going into November, what's going to happen is that Democrats are going to run against Amanda Atkins, against Derek Schmidt most notably, and use the fact that they were in favor of Value Them Both against them. Because there were no real notable primaries, as we've noted for a long time now, right? Amanda Atkins didn't really have a notable primary. Derek Schmidt, running for governor, did not really have a notable primary. He's going up against Laura Kelly this fall. What happened instead is all of these Republican candidates around the state lobbied and advocated for Value Them Both. And that makes sense. I mean, you know, many Republicans in Kansas, not all, but many are going to be pro-life. And they said, hey, we're not really running against anybody. So let's run on behalf of value them both. Well, could that backfire? Is that something where now Sharice Davids or Laura Kelly are out there using in ads that Derek Schmidt and Amanda Atkins were advocates for value them both? You showed up and you voted no on value them both overwhelmingly. And just so you know, Derek Schmidt and Amanda Atkins were out there supporting and pushing value them both around the state of Kansas. And they use their stance on that against them in an election come this fall. I believe that is going to happen. What impact it has in a governor's race, what impact it has in a congressional race, I don't know. I mean, especially since the no vote won. Like, it's not something where you can say, because the no vote won, you can't say about Derek Schmidt, if Derek Schmidt gets in office, oh man, that abortion ban is coming from the Kansas legislature and Derek Schmidt's going to sign it into law. Like, Laura Kelly should be feeling good after Tuesday night, but in a weird way, the best case situation for Laura Kelly's reelection bid was a yes vote, right? Like, if the yes vote had just barely won, and then the legislature had the ability to put more guardrails and more restrictions on abortion, Laura Kelly could have run with that all day long through November, and she likely would have. And that would have been a good campaign strategy for her reelection bid because there wasn't going to be much else to run on anyway. But now that that's not the case, she's still going to try to use it because now you had such a landslide the other way. What she's going to do and what is smart of her to do is to try to use Derek Schmidt as a proponent to value them both against him, even though it really doesn't matter from the standpoint of, you know, what's going to happen in the issue of abortion in the state of Kansas. It's politically wise because what it could remind enough voters is, oh, Schmidt was on that side of that issue. Oh, Schmidt was one of those guys. Oh, so he was pushing for what I showed up to the polls to vote against. Oh, I better show up and vote for Laura Kelly again. And what I also want to know, and maybe, you know, you have people like this in your life. Doesn't matter if you're a Missouri resident or a Kansas resident, but you know people in Kansas. Mark mentioned a story to me before the show that, what was it, Mark? A friend's mother voted for the first time in 10 years in any election and voted no?
Yep. And I think that's all she voted on.
That's probably the only thing, right?
I think so.
So she was so motivated to go to the polls, she went to vote for the first time in any election in a decade.
Mm-hmm.
Wow. How many of those people are out there in Kansas? And does this rejuvenate them to go vote again come November? Or was this like a one-time thing where they're like, oh, that was fun. I'll see you in 10 years. You know, like, I don't know. I don't have a clue if those people are actually going to show up again in November, how they're going to vote, what they believe in. I don't know. But that is what is so interesting here as well. Now, there's something else that's been sent to me about what happened in Kansas on Tuesday night. And let's just kind of put this to rest just so we're all on the same page here. All right. So what it looks like is about 180,000 people voted on the abortion amendment in Kansas and nothing else on the ballot. Before you start saying it's something nefarious, it's not. If you are an unaffiliated voter, that was the only thing you could vote on in Kansas on Tuesday night. You're not registered with the Republicans. You're not registered with the Democrats. That's the only thing that you could vote on if you went to the polls on Tuesday. And then there may have been many people who are technically registered Republicans or Democrats, but all they really cared about was value them both. So it's not nefarious that whatever it ends up being, 180 or more thousand people voted on just a singular issue. So I do want to just kind of put that to bed so we're all on the same page here moving forward. Richard's in Belton. He is on KCMO. Hello, Richard. Good morning.
Good morning, Pete. Hey, I know I'm a Missourian, but, you know, we have to listen to all the Kansas ads. One, the messaging was so messed up on the thing on the amendment anyway. Two, you know, I don't know who picked this timing to put it out on the ballot. That was not very smart from a political.
Well, that was decided. You know, this was long before Roe that this thing was going to be on the August ballot. So you know, that's that.
Yeah.
I agree with you on the verbiage. That was bad. But in terms of when it was on the ballot, I mean, they couldn't control that Roe was going to get overturned 7-8 weeks before the vote, you know?
Oh, 100%. And then also, now here's what the Republicans have to do on any issue. Is our problem has been on getting out and fighting fire with fire. We need to, Derek Schmidt, Amanda Atkins need to get out. So, yes, we are on that side of value them both. But we are on that side because it is a state issue that needs to be decided within the state. It's not up to the unelected Supreme Court to decide this. It's not up to the federal Supreme Court to decide this.
Yeah.
You know, that's what, and they need to get out with that message. Be like, this is a state issue. The Supreme Court said as a state issue, the state needs to be able to control through your elected officials.
Mm-hmm.
You know, this issue, and that's what they need to get out with the messaging. We're just on that side of the issue.
Yeah,
just because we're anti-abortion. No, they need to get out and say, hey, we're out. Yes, morally we are against it, but also, you know, this is a state issue. It needs to be decided in the state legislature.
Yes, you are right, Richard. You are absolutely right, man. Make it about. Yes, we were on the yes side of value them both. Yes, you know, we're pro-life. But for us, as much as anything, it was also a constitutional issue where we believe that state lawmakers and the elected representatives of the people of Kansas should be deciding these things, not an unelected state Supreme Court. Push back with facts. Push back on this being a constitutional question in many ways more than simply a question about how you feel regarding abortion. You are spot on there, Richard, and I hope that they take that advice because it will be used against them. Sharice Davids is in many ways already doing that against Amanda Atkins. So we're going to obviously watch that closely here on KCMO Talk Radio. 5767710 is how you join us. On 710 AM, 103.7 FM, smartphones and smart speakers as well as you get the morning started here on KCMO Talk Radio. Coming up next. Oh, gosh. It's just too good. They are going to overplay their hand, aren't they? That's what's going to happen here. See this Joe Biden executive order regarding healthcare in a post-Roe America? My, oh, my, oh, my. The man just, he can't help himself. We've got the audio from old Joe Boy coming up on KCMO. Well, this is not very nice on the text line. Pete, how many men voted no after hearing from their significant other? Vote no or you aren't getting any for a very long time. Come on now. If that's your relationship, I mean, you know. You got to work on that, okay? And I'm just throwing this out there, too. Voting is private. No one's looking over your shoulder in the voting booth. All right? Now, I do believe this. I don't think it happened on Tuesday night. But I guarantee you that there are men out there. I'm not saying just here in the Kansas City area. I believe that there are men all over the country who voted for Donald Trump, who will never tell their wives they voted for Donald Trump. I do believe that that person does exist. But in terms of Tuesday night in Kansas, no. I don't think that's at all part of the equation. This is also a good one on the text line. The text line is lit up this morning. I think we've got an extra couple of trolls. Not couple, a ton of trolls who are just, I don't know, living vicariously through us or something this morning. I'm not sure what the deal is here. But if I were to go based off the text line this morning, I would say 60% of our audience is just looking to, you know, I don't know, beat us up this morning, John, which is even higher than usual, believe it or not.
Yeah, when I was laying back for my operation, I had that kind of time, but yeah. You know, I don't now.
You don't. Oh, gosh. Like,
yeah, I got a job, so.
Yeah, I got things to do.
Right. Places to go, people to see.
It's exactly right.
You were saying the men wouldn't admit to their wives about voting for Trump. I think there's some women that maybe voted no that didn't tell their husbands they were voting no. Like, maybe they'd usually both vote the same way, and this one, they're like, yeah.
Normally, they would both vote for Republicans, let's say, but the wife voted no, and the husband voted yes on the amendment.
That's what the wife won't tell.
Yeah, I think you're right about that, too, Mark. I bet you there's some of that out there. I could definitely see that being the case. All right. Now, on the text line as well on this, Pete, your logic is not solid. The ballot language on Tuesday was clear. What didn't clear? There was no. All right. This is now completely out of control. There was no deception from the no side. I mean, come on. No deception from the no side. Look at the yard signs y'all were passing out. The yard. Kansas forever the free state. Freedom on the ballot. Vote no. Hey, come on. As if tying this back to the slave era? No deception on the no side. Okay, stop.
Healthcare.
Health, yeah, or yes.
That was the one where I went, all right.
Yes.
Come on.
I mean, then that's 101.
All the rest of it I get.
Yeah.
Their paranoia and all the hysteria, but when you... Healthcare.
Wow. Well, that's right out of the Dems playbook, right? Health, abortion is healthcare. And that's literally how they interpret it. So here's what else happened yesterday after this news of what took place in Kansas. Joe Biden signed an executive order yesterday that his administration says will help low-income people pay for abortions if they have to travel out of state to obtain them. Here was Joe Biden mumbling and bumbling and fumbling his way through an announcement yesterday on Zoom.
No, today I'm signing the second executive order I'm about to sign that responds to the healthcare crisis that has unfolded since the Supreme Court overturned Roe and that women are facing all across America. Healthcare crisis is, you know.
There it is, John. There, healthcare, baby.
It's hard for me to even understand how they think this.
And by the way, when Joe said that, that's really what happened there is he got lost in the teleprompter. So he's like, can't believe it.
Healthcare crisis is women can't choose an abortion, even in the case of incest, even in the case of rape. But it goes beyond that. There are a lot of women who take prescriptions prescribed by their doctors and been taking for some time for other conditions, for arthritis, for epilepsy, for Crohn's disease. And in many cases, these prescriptions are not being filled.
So that was Joe Biden explaining what he is about to do with an executive order that his administration claims will help low-income people pay for abortions if they have to travel out of state. What this paves the way for is Medicaid to cover abortion, which means taxpayer monies to cover abortion. Yeah, you know, it's sad that we can't all agree on the issue of abortion, but that's part of what makes the world go round. It's really disappointing that we can't all be on the same page with, even if you are someone who believes abortion should be readily available, is it too much to ask for you to pay for it and not have the taxpayer pay? Is that too much? I think it is. And that's really disappointing. Really disappointing. Mike is in Leawood. He's on KCMO. Hey, Mike, what's up?
Hey, Pete. Hey, I just think I think you're correct. I think it's going to be an uphill battle for Amanda Atkins and Derek Schmidt in the blue counties. And, of course, that's kind of where you got to win the vote. And I think that what they've got to do is pretty much dismiss the abortion issue at this point in time and because it's a non-issue. For the next election. It really is. Kansas already made their mind up. I think that the messaging should be, look, we had hoped that it would go a different way. We had hoped viability really would have been a conversation point because ultimately, you know, we believe in life and we hope that we can talk to people about that. But at this point in time, we're going to move forward on so many other issues. Cerise Davidson, you know, needs to account for her votes And they're going to have to just kind of get off of that issue. Obviously, they're going to try and make it the issue, but I think they have to just dismiss it and move forward, because it's going to be an uphill road in the Blue Counties.
I completely agree, Mike. I think you're spot on, because it really doesn't matter. It's a great point and a very good call. It doesn't matter in terms of this next election cycle. You're right. The people of Kansas decided that abortion is a right in the state constitution. Derek Schmidt being governor doesn't change that. There's nothing he can do right now in the short term on that front. So don't even really make that part of the campaign. And then for Amanda Atkins, a federal race, abortion's now a state issue. It's got nothing to do with a federal congressional race. So you're right, Mike. Coming up next, did you see what happened to Jack Stack? They've had to apologize for being involved with a pro-life group. I'll explain next. Yeah, so the White House took a little victory lap after what happened in Kansas on Tuesday night. Yes, they did. They sent White House Press Secretary Karine Jean-Pierre to the podium yesterday after Value Them Both failed by 18 points on Tuesday night. And, you know, when it came to the issue of abortion, she took a, you know, a little victory lap when she said, quote, in the wake of Dobbs, the president predicted the people would turn out in record numbers to reclaim rights stolen from them. That's one interpretation. And then that wasn't the most bizarre thing that the White House press secretary had to say on Wednesday afternoon. This right here was the gem. Let's roll it.
From day one, when the Supreme Court made this extreme decision to take away a constitutional right, it was an unconstitutional action by them, a right that was around for almost 50 years, a right that women had to make a decision on their bodies and how they want to start their families.
Wow. How they want to start their families. Unconstitutional action by the Supreme Court. That's Orwellian stuff, isn't it? I mean, that is right out of the playbook of Orwellian speech, of Orwellian talk. Is it not? Even by the incredibly low bar and standards that I had, I was like, wait, come again? I'd say one more time for me, please.
From day one, when the Supreme Court made this extreme decision to take away a constitutional right, it was an unconstitutional action by them, a right that was around for almost 50 years, a right that women had to make a decision on their bodies and how they want to start their families.
Wait. I'm watching this. And I'm seeing, and I saw that quote, and my jaw hit the floor. I was like, wait, did I just, and then I had to watch it again. And then I watched it again. And I don't like playing sound bites twice for you like that back to back, but I just wanted to make sure that your ears did hear what they heard, and my ears heard the same thing. All right, so we're all on the same page here about what was said yesterday at the White House podium by the press secretary.
She said women and not persons.
Oh, that's true, too. Well, now we've got a little controversy on our hands. What happened to pregnant persons, huh? I mean, let's get it right here. If we're going to go down the, you know, the wokey-doke alley, let's get it right. Let's get it. I mean, this is priceless. This is a live look at what a degree from Woke University gets you as well. And that is a unique take. The Supreme Court's Dobbs ruling was unconstitutional. That's something that even by the low standards I've got, I was like, whoa, that's different. Didn't see that one coming. 5767710. Our text line is 816-576-7710. Let's go back to you and say hi to Bob. He is in Gardner. What's up, Bob? Good morning.
Oh, Pete, this is Bob and Gardner. I'm glad to be on your show, and I love listening to you. Keep up the good work.
Thank you, Bob.
A couple of things. Hey, you bet. Karine's comment, that overrode my first two comments in my mind. It's interesting that this is a right that's been around for 50 years, but the Kansas Supreme Court seemed to think it was in the 1800s Kansas Constitution. but the real thing that I had to say to you, when you talk about the rural counties out in western Kansas and why they voted the way they did, I'm from a small county before I moved to Gardner last year, a farming county. And I had old timers coming up to me, old Catholic fellows, that said, Bob, how are we supposed to vote on that? We're supposed to vote no against abortion, right? We're supposed to vote no against abortion. And I would look at them and I would say, no, 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 that is not correct. And we mislabeled this thing. The communications were not good. Our message was not conveyed well. And thirdly, Pete, the Kansas Supreme Court passed this law, this regulation, this allowance of abortion. They were up for confirmation for retention in 2016, and we came closer than we ever had, I believe, in Kansas. And at 52% to 54%, we almost kicked out five of them. Mm-hmm. They're up again this fall in November. Six people, one conservative justice, Caleb Stegall, who won by 72%, a retention right. The other five are up, and we have never not retained a Supreme Court justice in Kansas. Somebody needs to get the message out. Three justices would turn this around.
Yep. You are, Bob, way to go, my man. You know what you're talking about. You are on point this morning. That is outstanding work. Outstanding work. And that is the next thing here, Bob. Well done. Thanks for being a part of the show, my man.
Thanks, Pete. We love you.
All right. There you go. That is great. How about a little round of applause for Bob? All right.
And Derek Schmidt would need to win so that he could appoint his judges, right?
Yeah. I mean, that is very, very interesting. And I'm glad he brought all that up. The most important point there was when he had guys in rural counties who were pro-life saying, oh, we vote no against this, right? We vote no on the amendment. Vote no against abortion, right? That's a messaging problem. That's what that is. And that I can't say this with certainty because I don't have any data to back it up, and I don't like doing that. But as I noted, and as we've noted over the last couple of days, when you see Western Kansas and counties in Western Kansas that voted for Donald Trump 86-12, then vote yes 60-40, that tells me, my gut tells me, that there was confusion. I can't sit here and prove it right now. It's going to take time until we figure out what the heck, you know, that was all about. But that's a bad sign. Now, let's be clear as well. Even if Western Kansas had gone further towards vote yes, it would not have made up the 18-point loss. If this was a 2-point loss and we saw certain counties in Western Kansas only voted yes by 20 points, then you've got a conversation to have about, well, you know. But 18 points, that's not close. All right, it's like, you know, let's say Chiefs lose in the AFC Championship game to fill in the blank. I don't want to have that conversation, but let's just throw it out there for sake of the conversation. You lose by 3 touchdowns and you're like, if only we had a better punter. No, that's not why you lose a game by 3 touchdowns. So the postmortem on all this is going to be very interesting, but it's clear to me, the more I hear from you guys, the more I hear calls like Bob's, the messaging on the yes side was not where it needed to be. Now, we appreciate those of you that were tuned into this show and listened to this show, and you know, we're explaining to your friends and family members what actually a yes vote is, what a no vote is. It's not even really an abortion conversation at its core. It's a constitutional conversation. Should your elected representatives be able to make this determination and decide issues like abortion in Topeka through their elected representatives? Should they be able to do that? That's really what this was about. Abortion was just the issue that was being used here, but it really was a constitutional question. And I hope that when people look in the mirror on this, on the yes side, they wonder how this got so muddied. And you can sit there and you can blame millions of dollars from the coast, and that's, you know, that's certainly part of the conversation. And you can blame Roe getting overturned weeks ago, and obviously that's a huge part of it. All those things are true. And I'm not saying that slightly better messaging switches an 18-point loss. I'm not suggesting that. But this is not the end. So what can you learn from the failures that came out of the last several months? And if you're going to sit here and dig in and say, no failures, just, you know, got a bad draw. Well, no. We all screw up. We all can do things better in all of our jobs. In all the issues, in all of our races, we all can do better. And this is a chance to look in the mirror and say, what can we do better? How can things improve? What could have been done differently? Well, many of you lobbying for Bob in Gardner to be our caller of the day. Of course, we announce that at 9:35 every morning. We've had a lot of great ones. Had a lot of great ones so far this morning, but Bob's up there. I know Kathy in Kansas City can be right up there as well. Hi, Kathy. Good morning.
Hi, Pete.
What's on your mind, Kathy?
I'd like to give you a parody. Define rare, first of all, and then as the child is being killed, tell that child he or she is having a rare procedure. And if by chance the child does make it through the rare procedure, you can also tell that child that he can change, he or she can change their gender at a given age and then live happily ever after. The problem with this country is it is not a constitutional or a political crisis. We are living in moral decay.
Well, you know, Kathy, thank you. Not going to get a whole lot of disagreement on that. I mean, you know, certainly there's a moral issue here that is worthy of conversation and is a big part of the conversation. Kathy, no doubt about it. That is certainly part of the conversation here. I mean, you know, especially when you're at the point, right, where it's not about safe, legal, and rare. The mayor of Kansas City, Quentin Lucas, was on the show last hour, and it's his belief, he said on this show, that he believes the Democratic Party still wants abortion to be safe, legal, and rare. I don't know how you make that case. Now, and you know what, though? I mean, I let them come on, and obviously we have these conversations and go back and forth, but I don't know how you make that case. I don't. I mean, when you've got, like, the New York State Legislature, all the talk about how Missouri's been too extreme, basically, with an outright ban of abortion, and, you know, you can have that opinion if you want, but when New York is saying, basically, third trimesters, come on in, this is great. And then they're celebrating at the state capitol. Remember there was that video in Albany, capital of New York, where after they passed that bill that essentially allowed abortion up to birth, there's a video of state lawmakers cheering in the capitol. And they lit up the capitol pink that night. It was demonic in many ways. Like, we've gone so far away from the idea of safe, legal, and rare in the minds of many who have been on the other side of this. Whereas I mean, now you've got a situation where, you know, the president yesterday signs an executive order that, I mean, is opening up the door to Medicaid paying for women to travel to other states to get abortions. This was the president yesterday.
No, today I'm signing the second executive order I'm about to sign. That responds to the healthcare crisis that has unfolded since the Supreme Court overturned Roe and that women are facing all across America. Healthcare crisis is, you know, it's hard for me to even understand how they think this. Healthcare crisis is women can't choose. Can't get an abortion, even in the case of incest, even in the case of rape. But it goes beyond that. There are a lot of women who take prescriptions prescribed by their doctors and been taking for some time for other conditions, for arthritis, for epilepsy, for Crohn's disease. And in many cases, these prescriptions are not being filled.
So we've gone from the idea of, you know, Bill Clinton's safe, legal, and rare to now an executive order from the White House that opens up the door to Medicaid paying for people to go to other states to get abortions. Besides the fact that this seems like a massive violation of the Hyde Amendment, which is a legislative provision barring the use of federal funds to pay for abortion except to save the life of the woman or if the pregnancy arises from incest and rape. It appears to be a very clear violation of the Hyde Amendment. Besides that, and I'm not saying we should leave that off to the wayside, but if you want to for a second, how do we get to the point where even if you're somebody who disagrees on the issue of abortion or, you know, has a different opinion on it, how do we not get to the same page of like, if this is policy that we're going to have, we at least aren't using taxpayers' dollars to fund it. Like, can we at least, at the very least, be on the same page there? Can we at the very least be on the same page with third trimester grotesque off the table? We can't. There are many people who want to be able to use federal tax dollars for elective abortions. There are many people, like state legislatures, who want to see and make available third trimester abortions. And if we can at least all get on the same page with that, then I'm not going to say it's hopeless. I never like to go down that road, but it certainly makes it a much more difficult conversation to have. Much more difficult conversation to have. Because it's like we're not even in the same moral compass, right? 5767710. 5767710. Paul's in Kansas City on KCMO. Go ahead, Paul.
Hey, Pete, I just find it ironic that the President of the United States all of a sudden uses the word crisis. Not a border crisis, not an inflation crisis, not an energy crisis, but we got a health care crisis. You know, they alter their views that... they alter the facts to fit their views, not to alter their view to fit the facts. It's just the hypocrisy. This trimester thing, the date of birth abortions, I mean, they got to sound the alarm on that. But, yeah, that was my comment, Pete. They used the word crisis. He's trying to take credit for the gas going down. The hypocrisy. It's
yeah.
Terrible, Pete.
That's well said. That is, they twist the facts to fit their views. That's a great line there, Paul. Instead of twisting their views to fit the facts. That's a good job. That's a very good job. Well done. So here's the email I received from Sharice Davids. Yes, she sent it to me personally. I'm just kidding. I got it as a constituent, all right? And this is what the email said. It came down yesterday at about 3 o'clock in the afternoon. Says, hi, Pete. Wow. Even got the personalized header. I don't know how they do that.
Such a nice man.
Pretty amazing. It's clear that a strong majority of Kansans, regardless of party, reject extremism and favor protecting women's reproductive rights. All right, that is, once again, a flimsy interpretation of what was on the ballot Tuesday night. Extremism, if you want to, or strong pro-life laws were not being voted on Tuesday night. It was about whether or not the state legislature should be able to regulate abortion. Anyway, let's continue with the letter from Sharice Davids. Healthcare decisions should be healthcare. There it is, John. There's the key word, healthcare.
Mm-hmm.
Healthcare decisions should be between you and your doctor, not politicians. All right, we're two sentences in and already got it. You know, a ton of BS to sort through. Thankfully, access to reproductive health care is legal in Kansas for now. There it is, health care. Ding, 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 ding. But some will keep relentlessly pushing to roll reproductive rights. Ding, 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 ding. Another catchphrase, keyword, even in cases of rape and incest. After the Supreme Court's extreme decision to overturn Roe v. Wade. So a lot of fear mongering out of the gates here in this personalized letter from Sharice Davids to yours truly. After the Supreme Court extreme decision to overturn Roe v. Wade and over 50 years of precedent, Congress needs to pass a new law to protect reproductive rights for the long term. Please click below to begin taking my survey to share your thoughts, writes Congresswoman Davids. So you can see, less than 24 hours after this vote had been decided on, Sharice Davids is campaigning on the issue of abortion. And when your record includes voting for bills that drove 40-year highs in inflation, you need something else. And when the reason that you've won two terms in Congress, as Sharice Davids has, is because you ran against big, bad, scary orange man Donald Trump successfully in Johnson County and basically said, you know, Trump's on the ballot or Trump's in the White House, so by golly, vote for me. When you're an empty suit who is in Congress because your district didn't like Donald Trump, you got to have something now because Trump's not around. Trump's sitting somewhere on a golf course right now figuring out if he should endorse Eric. Or maybe his next endorsement will be for Bob in a race that has two Bobs in it. So now this is what they're going to do. She's going to run on the issue of abortion. She's going to think that Tuesday is going to help her. And, you know, I don't blame her for feeling that way. She should feel that way. But now the big thing is going to be running to pass a bill to codify Roe v. Wade into law. Now, that's highly unlikely to happen, but they're going to run on it. Here's what's interesting. Democrats could have codified Roe v. Wade and essentially made it a law when Barack Obama got into the White House. They had massive majorities in the House and the Senate back then. If you go back and you look, they had a huge majority in the House. I mean, it was enormous. They could have codified it then. They chose not to. They could have done it. And then what happened here would have never happened in recent weeks. They could have gotten that done. Why did they not do it? Why didn't they bother? They wanted the issue. They wanted the issue. In 2009, when Barack Obama got in the office, in the House of Representatives, 257 Democrats to 178 Republicans. They had 56 U.S. senators. You could have peeled off a couple of moderate Republicans and codified Roe with 60 votes in the U.S. Senate. They didn't do it because they wanted the issue. The issue of abortion dangling out there as, oh boy, you know, you got to vote for us. You put these Republicans in. Who knows what they'll do on the issue of abortion? They could have codified Roe in the first 6 months of Barack Obama being in the White House. Why didn't they do it? That was the best chance they've had. Really, in the last 30 years, that was the best chance they had to codify Roe. They chose not to do it. Why? Because they wanted the issue. That's what they wanted. 5767710. Our text line is 816-576-7710. And that's why this is going to, it may help Sharice Davids somewhat, but just see through the politics for what it is. All right, let's be very clear. See through the politics for what it is. Because when you look at this thing, you got to admit and you have to be able to say to yourself, you know what? I mean, this is clearly just a political play. Not going to codify Roe v. Wade. You think they're going to be able to codify Roe v. Wade in Congress? I mean, first off, you'd have to have the majority in the House, which they're very unlikely to have come November. And then you got to find 60 U.S. senators to get on board with this. And even if Republicans screw up a couple of Senate races, it's still likely to be about a 50-50 Senate. We're not going to be sitting here talking about, you know, Democrats with 55, 56, 57 U.S. senators, and then you get to that 60 threshold and you find yourself in a situation where you could codify Roe v. Wade. So now, once again, the issue becomes about politics when anybody who's actually paying attention understands that this is not going to happen in the next Congress. There's just no way it's going to happen. But it doesn't mean they can't keep using it. And they will. And one day after that vote in Kansas, that's where Sharice Davids is going. So Jack Stack, we've told you throughout the morning, Jack Stack got bullied because they held the Value Them Both event on Tuesday night at Fiorella's. And to their credit, they didn't apologize. Thank goodness they didn't. We'll reset that story, but also tell you how it's something similar to what I experienced on Tuesday night. All right, we'll get to that. Much more coming up just after the 9 o'clock news in 2 minutes. Pete Mundo on KCMO Talk Radio.
The countdown is on for the 2024 NFL Draft, presented by Bud Light, live from Detroit, and you can attend in person for free.
Welcome to the NFL Draft.
See the next NFL stars and experience the ultimate NFL fan festival, featuring live concerts, interactive games, player autographs, and more. The NFL Draft, presented by Bud Light, April 25th through 27th. Visit NFL.com/draft access to register for free entry today.